Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Let's move on, because there's been a war of words this week between EU and Irish politicians and their counterparts in Northern Ireland and the UK. For example, Arlene Foster, the leader of the DUP, has said the EU is taking a belligerent approach about recent controversies surrounding the Northern Ireland Protocol. Yesterday, Simon Coveney, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, has said that the EU is now negotiating with a partner it simply cannot trust. And this surrounds, of course, a unilateral decision taken by the UK in recent days to extend the grace period surrounding the Northern Ireland Protocol. I'm joined now by Nigel Dodds, Deputy Leader of the DUP, to discuss the fallout of all of this. Nigel Dodds, you're very welcome to the programme.
Can you
explain to me what Arlene Foster meant exactly when she says that the EU was acting in a belligerent fashion?
Well, I think if you cast your mind back to the 29th of January, when over the issue of vaccines, of all things, where we're supposed to be helping each other overcome a worldwide pandemic, we had the EU invoke Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is supposed to be about problems in Northern Ireland, in order to safeguard themselves and prevent vaccines being exported to the United Kingdom and into Northern Ireland. Not only was that a reprehensible act in itself, when you think about the issue of vaccines and helping people overcome pandemic, it also tore apart the whole rationale of the protocol, because the EU was prepared to step in and impose a hard border on the island of Ireland without even following the proper processes. So I think the belligerence there is evident. And since then, we've had a situation where, at the end of March, supermarkets in Northern Ireland are not going to be able to get goods from Great Britain into their shelves without massive bureaucracy, checks and so on. And the British government have quite rightly said that that's unacceptable.
But I wonder, is belligerent overstepping the mark? That was acknowledged as a mistake and it was rectified within 24 hours. And I wonder, surely worse than belligerence is betrayal. Boris Johnson's betrayal of the DUP after he gave commitments to the DUP in Ulster that they would never be left behind, that the union would never be broken. And we know now that you're worried about a border of sorts down the Irish Sea. Surely not belligerence in the EU's part. That betrayal is at the root of all of this.
Well, two things. First of all, on the issue of the EU quickly withdrew their belligerent act towards Northern Ireland and indeed towards the United Kingdom and indeed worldwide. Even today, they're trying to stop vaccines being exported to other parts of the world. I mean, this is nationalism of the worst kind. So it's quite right to describe the EU situation as belligerence. But remember, when they didn't go ahead with Article 16 and quickly withdrew it, they did put out a statement saying they reserved the right to do it again. So it's far from being withdrawn.
In exceptional and extraordinary circumstances.
When
the DUP is calling for the withdrawal or the scrapping of the Northern Ireland Protocol, the circumstances are not exceptional, nor are they extraordinary. They are exactly what the UK signed up to.
Well, just to finish the point that I was making before you interrupted me, the fact of the matter is that the EU deemed what's exceptional and extraordinary circumstances. So they decide, that's the problem with the protocol, they decided that that was the case. Now, coming on to the wider issues, the situation where you have a massive diversion of trade, where you can't have parcels sent within your own country without customs declarations, where you can't have goods sent of a plant or animal nature if there's British soil attached to it, where you can't transport pets or animals because they might have a disease which hasn't been on the island of Ireland or Britain for hundreds of years. This is nonsense stuff. And what we've
but
got to do is get this
signed up to.
No, well, we never signed up to that.
Well, hang on a second. I beg to differ.
Well, because
Let me put the question to you because it is flabbergasting for our listeners when they hear spokespersons like yourself, and I say this respectfully from the DUP, telling people for the last number of years that people must accept the democratic result of the Brexit referendum. But the DUP, in the second breath, says we must scrap the democratically negotiated treaty which followed the referendum.
Well, who voted for the protocol in Northern Ireland? Nobody did.
Well, you tell us many times that the UK public voted for Brexit.
Yes,
and
did.
Then the UK assigned
Correct.
A negotiating team. The democratically elected government of the UK assigned a negotiating team, and it is that team that came up with this deal.
Yes, but I mean, that was never... yes, but you're talking nonsense with respect.
Why? What part of that is wrong?
Well, the part about the fact that Northern Ireland was never given a vote or a democratic decision on the protocol. And the reality is you may have representatives go and negotiate all sorts of things, but it was never put to the democratic vote of the people of Northern Ireland. And what we have seen with the Northern Ireland Protocol is quite simply a travesty in terms of the actual outworking of it for businesses, consumers and communities in Northern Ireland. Everybody is saying that. So the reality is that we need to get it replaced.
Are you seriously telling me that the reason to scrap the protocol was that Northern Ireland was never given a vote on the protocol? Isn't that what people have been telling you for the last number of years in relation to Brexit? And you say, forget the North, forget the majority of people in the North who voted against Brexit. You say, look at the UK in its entirety.
No, look, I think it's flabbergasting to many people who may be listening to this that you're saying that anyone in Northern Ireland politics would say, forget about the North. I mean, that's just nonsense.
You were saying forget about the majority. You were saying forget about the majority.
No, you didn't say that. But that's not what you said. But look, the fact of the matter is that what we have got to do in Northern Ireland is reach a situation where we have balance restored to the institutions and to the Belfast Agreement and its successors. At the moment, we have a border imposed in the Irish Sea because people said that north-south relationships couldn't be interfered with. But east-west relationships, which is strand 3 of the agreement, has been interfered with. And what we need to do is find a solution which restores that balance so that we don't have these checks and restrictions anywhere in the island of Ireland mm-hmm. or anywhere between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. That's the sensible position, that's a reasonable position, and one which then has the democratic consent of people in Northern Ireland, both unionist and nationalist. At the moment, the protocol does not have the consent, has never been put to a vote of any assembly or anyone in Northern Ireland.
In Westminster it has.
Well, that may well be, but it hasn't been agreed by the people of Northern Ireland. Now, the only vote that we will be allowed is in 4 years' time. It should be happening now, and it should be happening in a democratic process.
Are you on very shaky ground here in the DUP?
No, we're on the solid ground of democracy and standing by the agreements that have already been entered into. Those who wish to change those agreements are really playing a very dangerous game with the future of Northern Ireland.
Are you on very shaky ground here in the DUP? Because the party seems to be, in polls anyway, in trouble, shedding support to the likes of the TUV and Jim Allister. You defied business and farming on the Brexit vote. You insisted Brexit would strengthen the union. And now you're looking across a border between yourselves and the rest of the UK. Great Britain. Surely, Nigel Dodds, no wonder people are angry at the DUP.
No, look, I think what we'll find is the polls come and go. Our position is very, very strong and has been, and will continue to be so. We speak for the majority of the unionist population in Northern Ireland and will continue to do so. And those who casually set aside the carefully crafted arrangements of devolution, north-south and east-west arrangements, in this fashion, in this cavalier fashion, are I think, endangering the entire political process. As far as we are concerned, we're focused on ensuring that all of the people of Northern Ireland can benefit economically and commercially and every other way from Brexit and from economic progress as part of the fifth largest economy in the world. And we've seen enormous advantages in being part of that economy as we come out and through this pandemic. That's very clear to everybody on these islands.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to work on these things, see the progress and make advances, but only on the basis of the democratic consent of unionists and nationalists in Northern Ireland.
Can I ask you your opinion about what the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, said yesterday when he was asked for his reaction to unilateral action from the UK in relation to extending the grace period? He said, "This is not the first time this has happened," he said, "that they are negotiating with a partner that they simply cannot trust." What do you say to Simon Coveney on hearing that?
Well, I'm not here as a spokesperson or commentator on part of the British government. The British government can answer full well, and I'm sure that Simon Coveney has a direct line to the British government. I would, however, observe that on the 29th of January, it was the EU who acted in the way that they did, in the belligerent and arrogant way in which they cast aside even the rules within the protocol under which Article 16 is to be triggered. So I think that, you know, it applies both ways, not just in one direction.
Mm-hmm. And Arlene Foster, just in terms of that interview she gave this morning, she said the EU Commission was disrupting supply chains and damaging the Good Friday Agreement through a disproportionate number of checks and so on, I think she referenced. Now, is the DUP saying that this is by design from the European Commission? Or is it the DUP's contention that the number of checks on the east-west border is unwittingly disproportionate and thus damaging the Good Friday Agreement and supply chains and so on? Do you think it's by on purpose or by a mistake?
Well, it's the EU wishing to take a very legalistic and rigid interpretation of the rules of the single market. And instead of showing flexibility, which may have helped the situation originally, they have adopted a very legalistic approach. So that, for instance, Dr. Robert Huey, who's the chief vet of Northern Ireland Department of Agriculture, said yesterday that if these grace periods, which the government have extended, and quite rightly so, had not been extended, that there would be more checks, or as many checks, between Great Britain and Northern Ireland on agri-food produce as on the entire European Union borders of all countries put together. I mean, that's the reality. So whether it's unwittingly or deliberate, it is what it is. It's the interpretation that has been laid down by the European Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one, as Dr. Robert Huey said yesterday, and he's the vet, he's independent, he's not a politician, said that he can't do. It's untenable and it's unacceptable. So that's what we're trying to get around and
okay.
trying to fix.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question, if you don't mind? I do appreciate your willingness to answer an awful lot of these questions because it gives us an understanding of your position on all of these things. Yesterday, I think we heard that the loyalist paramilitary groups were withdrawing their support for the Good Friday Agreement. Even on a temporary basis. And I know that the DUP has consulted with loyalist paramilitaries on the most recent controversy. Why are you consulting with loyalists? Why consult with hard men who have used and endorsed violence in the past on political matters?
Well, I think it's been a long-standing principle, not just in the last number of weeks, but for years now, that loyalists and Republicans through Sinn Féin should be listened to and talked to and discussed with. Churchmen do it. Civil servants do it. It's not that long ago that the Irish president, Mary McAleese, and her husband had regular engagements with these people, even in the presidential offices in Dublin. This happens all the time. The Loyalist Council was set up by Jonathan Powell, Tony Blair's right-hand man.
And Jonathan Powell said Jonathan Powell has said it is a mistake, being reported in the Belfast Telegraph, for loyalist paramilitaries to withdraw support for the Good Friday Agreement. And he thinks that there should not be a return to violence. Now, when you consulted the loyalist paramilitaries, did you seek a commitment from them that there would be never a return to violence?
Well, I agree with Jonathan Powell on that point, and I agree that there should never be a return to violence. And we did say that to the Loyalist Council. That's part of listening to them and making sure they keep on the constitutional and political road. But that's different from saying that you shouldn't meet them at all, which is what you were saying at the start. So what we do need to have is a process of dialogue. In the police meet with these people, churchmen meet with them. So it's quite right that we have engagement and listen to a legally constituted group which has been set up, as I say, by Jonathan Powell and others. But what we must do is ensure that everybody, and our message to everybody in the Loyalist and Unionist community, has been to not go down the path of violence or threats of violence. I mean, I have to say, though, that they say back to us, but look at what Leo Varadkar did. Look what others did when they warned about customs posts being burnt down, and we had Sinn Féin on the border with mock military uniforms and mock rifles. which was all deeply unhelpful in terms of threatening violence on the Irish border. So it has to be the same rule for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And very, very, 30 seconds, if you don't mind. If this type of rhetoric continues on both sides, is there the possibility that people may perhaps not take up arms, but may start thinking in terms of a mindset of violence again?
Well, look, I hope and pray that people do not go down that road. I don't think there's any evidence that that people are intent on doing that. And there shouldn't be that. I mean, the rhetoric, I mean, what the government has done here in the United Kingdom has been simply to extend some grace periods to allow people to get produce into supermarket shelves and so on. I don't think that that should necessitate any kind of wild rhetoric.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Nigel Dodds, Deputy Leader of the DUP, thanks very much.